Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. I say it every time. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you back with us again. We're delighted because one of our favorite guests is continuing a series with us, a series of broadcasts. Her name is Dr. Victoria Monlock. If you have heard her, and my gosh, if you listen to these shows very often, somewhere along the line, you have certainly heard Dr. Monlock. You have to have been impressed with her. She is she's an amazing woman's doctor. She's a female physician. She specializes in helping women. By the way, to tell you a little bit about her, she's living the dream she set out to achieve many years ago when she was in her 20s, which was to become a doctor. Our dreams, she says, change as you grow. In other words, they change from when you're 20 to when you're 30 to when you're 40 and so on, because as people, we always grow and we do change. And her goal of making a difference keeps taking a new shape. And today, it's all about creating a very different kind of patient experience, one that puts the patient at the very center and one that integrates wellness and practices that depart from conventional Western medicine. Her style of care also makes women feel more comfortable with her, and it's all about listening to people rather than dictating to them, so they become active partners in their own health care. And for this visionary doctor, success really isn't about reaching a certain number of surgeries or a financial mark. It's all about making the right kind of care available to all women and leaving a legacy. That's what she wants to do and what she loves to do, and she's doing it. She's definitely doing it. She got her MD from the Medical College of Wisconsin, did her internship in internal medicine, and then her residency in OBGYN at St. Joseph's Hospital in Milwaukee. She is an OBGYN licensed physician who's practiced for more than 30 years now, and her work keeps evolving. She established her own private practice, focusing more intensely on hormones and integrative care. She has written two books on the subject. They were all shifts that came on the heels of her own health crisis. And the answer was found in hormonal imbalances at the perimenopausal stage. I think I blew that. I'm going to get the doctor to straighten me out. Anyway, you can read more of her personal story at the beginning of her books. Her books are active. They are fabulous books. I have read them. And I've passed them on to my daughter to give to use with her teenage kids. They're amazing. And we will talk more about her books as we go on through these broadcasts with her. One of the things that amazes me about Dr. Monlock is she focuses so heavily on hormones and having your hormones checked. They're balanced, if you want to put it that way. She says doctors really should pay attention to that, but they don't unless they're pushed to do it, because many doctors never really learned a whole lot about this when they were in medical school. And that's kind of amazing, but really it's true. And last week, Dr. Monlock was talking about a very specific case that really had a big impact, and it's one she wants to continue talking about today. She was talking to Jim Masters last week. Today she's here with me. In any event, I'm going to bring Dr. Monlock on right now. She's a fabulous doctor, just a great, great guest. And by the way, she's based in Waukesha, Wisconsin. So if you lived in Waukesha or anywhere near Waukesha, Wisconsin, she is a doctor you certainly should investigate. She has, you should visit. She has a wonderful website. I'll be giving that to you in a little bit. It's a long one. You may want to have a pen and paper down to write it. But in any event, Dr. Monlock, Dr. Vicky, as we call you, welcome back. It's really a great pleasure to have you back again. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Doug. Thank you so much for that great intro.
Well, we have to brief everybody every now and then a little bit more on your background rather than just bringing you on without any buildup. But tell me about this case that you were talking about last week with Jim that you really want to talk a little bit more about. What's the concern?
Yeah, the really fascinating thing about this patient is that it brought home to me how important hormones are not just at any single stage of a woman's life, but it can bridge throughout her entire menstrual career. And this particular patient, who is presently in her mid-40s, so that's perimenopausal, of course, this woman actually had her hormone journey begin in her teenage years. So it segues perfectly into my adolescent book, Blossoming. And what I emphasize is what she went through is that she had an issue with eating disorder, and it completely interrupted and played with her hormone balance in her body. And this eating disorder carried through not just through adolescence, but then into her 20s, into her 30s. And when I met her in her 30s, she actually had been diagnosed as having several psychiatric diagnoses attached to her as well. And she had different counselors and different psychiatrists that were adding different medications in on her. And the one constant throughout the time I met her through present is that I kept hormone balancing her. Well, the story really hit ahead when she came in to visit recently. And she walked in, and this is a woman who in the past 2 years, with the beginning of her perimenopause, had the absolute roller coaster of hormone swing happen to her, and that happens to every perimenopausal woman, but it hit her particularly hard because of her having this eating disorder background and all these other psych medications on board. So she had gone through a counseling change, a psychiatrist change, medication change, all within about 18 months, and through all of that started the bulimia anorexia again. Now she was down to less than 80 pounds. She actually had to have a feeding tube placed to keep her nutrition going in because she was losing weight now at a very rapid pace. And they hospitalized her because they thought she actually was not going to physically make it. And she made it through all of that, came to see me, and she said, "I've made a decision." And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And she goes, I've stopped all of my psychiatric medications, and I've decided that I'm only going to do the hormones. I have felt the best when you hormone balanced me, and I've continued the hormone, but all this other overlay and different psychiatrists changing meds and changing what I take, and 6 months, it's a new med, it's a new diagnosis. She said, "I'm not doing that anymore." She said, "I stopped it all." And I looked at her and I said, "Okay," almost afraid of the answer. I said, "How are you doing?" And she looked at me and gave me this broad ear-to-ear grin. And she said, "Doc, I feel fabulous." And I thought, wow, that's amazing. She said, "You know, I have to thank you. You are the only physician that has ever listened to my point of view. You're the only physician that has ever kept a constant on my health for my sake, not their sake." And she said, "And I honestly don't think any of those psychiatric meds were working for me." She said, as she's sitting in front of me, now we're talking a bulimic anorexic, right? She pulls out a breakfast bar and she said, "Do you mind if I eat this in front of you?" And I almost started to cry. I thought, wow, that is like the biggest turnaround right in front of my eyes that I've ever seen. Now, I'm not going to say that it's because of her hormone, but hormone is that foundational balance to who women are. And in men, it's who men are. And if we really understand that our hormone balance, our female-male hormone, is one leg of that hormone chair that has four legs. So it's our female-male hormone. And yes, you have to balance it with your thyroid and with your adrenal and with your insulin blood sugar. But if you don't have that hormone leg of your female-male hormones balanced, that chair is a shaky chair, even if the other three are relatively solid. And in a woman who's perimenopausal, that is crucial to have your hormone levels manage because they will swing. And she looked at me and she said, Doc, I remember you told me when I hit 40, hang on, it's going to be a wild ride through my 40s. She said, you weren't kidding. So it
wow.
was such a tremendous example to see how her hormone swings that got her in trouble as an adolescent and her anorexia bulimia from her years of adolescence in which I describe in Blossoming, my adolescent book, and how that carried over into her perimenopause years where she is likely misdiagnosed with a number of psychiatric meds, including or diagnoses, including severe depression and anxiety, where her depression and anxiety were likely secondary to everything that was being thrown at her, and that her real issue is potentially not even psychiatric. It is quite potentially more hormone-based and hormone imbalance-based than anything else. And that brings us right to the second book, Full Bloom, Perimenopause,
yeah.
Menopause, and Beyond. So here's a patient that bridged both of my books for me. Isn't that just wild? But it's her story.
That's an amazing story. You know, I want to mention something. You talk about hormone balancing a lot. A lot of people who aren't familiar with this really may not know what you mean by hormone balancing. How do you balance hormones?
Well, it's all about, in female hormones, are A, your estrogen and progesterone balanced as far as percentiles, where we really want more of a progesterone dominance because that's going to prevent too much hormone causing trouble like a bad mammogram or ovarian cysts or heavy bleeding and building fibroids in the uterus. Those are all things that happen when there's too much estrogen or estradiol. And for those of you listening who have been told you have endometriosis or recurrent ovarian cysts, or you've got heavy periods with cramping and clotting and heavy bleeding and more frequent bleeding and bad mammograms, fibroids, I want you to really seriously sit down and think, holy cow, could I just have a hormone imbalance? Could it really be that simple? Well, I'm going to say to you, why shouldn't you know where your hormone levels are? Because what if it is contributing to what's going on? You're going to do periods from age 12 to age 50, having a handle on what that's doing and causing in your body as far as balance or imbalance to the rest of your body's health is going to make a difference over 38 years. So being able to help yourself and your health by knowing where your levels are, which, yes, of course will change over age 12 through your decade of your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, but that's why you follow the levels, because it will follow a relative bell curve. But you have to know if your levels for your age are age-appropriate and balanced. So that sounds complex, but it isn't. There's a graph that we simply plug your numbers onto the graph and say, yes, you fit the graph. No, you don't fit the graph, Mrs. Jones. Here's what we're going to do to get you back on the graph. And you go, wow, well, that's simpler than I thought it would be. And that's just it. It is simpler than most people are told it is, because many docs are never taught how to hormone balance their patients. And why aren't they taught? I honestly can't give you a good reason, except that the Women's Health Initiative kind of took us in the wrong direction. And that kind of segues us into why do docs not go there, and why do some docs choose to go there and some don't? Well, medical schools honestly don't teach it. Isn't that just a crazy statement?
That is.
Medical schools don't teach
it.
Hormone replacement.
Crazy.
Wow.
Well, you know, which brings up a very it brings up an important question. What about women who are, you know, who don't live near you in Wisconsin, but maybe they're in Texas or in Oklahoma or, you know, Florida, wherever. Can the average doctor that they go see normally, are they equipped? Are they knowledgeable enough to balance hormones? If a patient walked in and said, doctor, I'd like my have my hormones balanced, I think it's important. Would the doctor be able to do it?
Probably not. And I say that with all truth and honesty in my voice because, again, medical schools don't teach it. And the second ancillary to that question is medical schools don't teach it, and therefore the hospital systems that employ the physicians coming out will also tell those physicians, you won't have time to teach this to your patients, so we aren't going to let you go there. What?
Well.
What? Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy if you think about it. So for all of you patients that aren't blessed enough to live in Wisconsin in our beautiful 80-degree summer weather that we get only for 2 months out of the year,
right.
I will share with you that in the back of both of my books, I put down for you the formula of what you ask for from your doctor. I put down how you ask your doctor to check these labs for you. And if your doctor still will not or is told they cannot check these labs for you because the hospital system won't give him time to teach you about your hormones, therefore they won't let you have your hormones drawn and checked, then I also put my contact information in there and say, contact me. I will do this for you. I will do it long distance. I will do it as a Skype kind of interview with you over the phone, and I will manage you. I have a Skype practice that I manage a number of patients that way where they've been unable to, or their physician's been unable to help manage their female health for them. And I just think it's wrong that that isn't available to every woman in this country. Every woman should know their estradiol level or their E level. Every one of us should know what that number is and what it means, because it means one major leg of your hormone chair, and it's the foundation of your entire wellness and how you manage your day-to-day living. If that's out of balance, that's going to throw everything else off.
Boy. That's such valuable information you just gave us. Something else, I assume the balance of your hormones changes periodically as you go, you know, as you age, and that you really should have your hormones balanced on a more frequent basis than just one time. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I mentioned briefly that women go through a kind of a bell curve, where in the beginning of the bell curve in our teens, we ramp up. And it's not a smooth curve for a lot of women. It's an up-down, up-down, up-down curve until we reach 90th to 100th percentiles in our age of our 20 to 30-year-old decade. In our 30 to 40-year decade, our female hormone levels will fluctuate between 75th and 90th, which is still pretty doggone good. We're still kind of at the top of that bell curve. But then the age of our 40s to 50s, that downward slope is, again, wild up and down swings. And when we hit age 50 or menopause, which is different for every woman, then we quote-unquote quit, but we don't quit. Every woman gets what we call the last hurrah. And that last hurrah is when you think you're done and your body kicks back in. And you may have irregular or regular or a mixture of both periods for anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 months, some people up to 16 months, where your levels are all over the place again. And then you stop and quit finally. So when a patient goes in and asks their doctor, am I in menopause, the test that gets done is an academic test called an FSH, for follicle stimulating hormone. So F is in Frank, S is in Sam, H is in Henry. And that SSH only says whether the ovary is currently working or not. So if you go through the drop down of your bell curve and you temporarily stop, that FSH will say you're done. Well, then you kick back in for another 2, 4, 6, 8 months and you go, well, wait a minute. Doc, you told me that I was done. Well, let's repeat that test. Oh, no, now it says you're back on. Well, wait a minute. Is that confusing or what? So instead of knowing if your ovary's working or not, why not know what your ovary is making? And if it's making appropriate, balanced amount of hormone or not? Because another issue that happens at the end of our menstrual career is we may make a lot of estradiol, but we may not make any progesterone because our ovary isn't going to ovulate. So now we have tremendous estradiol dominance, which is like bombarding your body with excess estrogen. And what do you think a mammogram is going to show you with excess bombardment of estradiol? Potentially something you don't want to see, something bad. And this is the prime time for women to start getting bad mammograms, fibrocystic breast disease that starts to show change, and all of a sudden we've got breast cancer. And everybody goes, oh, well, good thing you hit menopause and all that hormone can go away. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. It's because we didn't know and didn't manage what was happening ahead of time that's what got us into trouble. It's not that hormone is bad for you, it's that it was not managed for you. So you truly, especially in the decade of your 40s, when you're doing that up and down, crazy drop down the end of your bell curve, you absolutely need to know where your levels are, whether they're balanced or not, whether your female hormones balance with your male hormone, or are you recruiting your thyroid and your adrenal and your pancreas with your insulin in to help out because you're not managing your female hormone well. That's what I mean by hormone balancing. So it's not just your female. It's not just your female male. It's all four hormone groups that belong on that hormone balancing act that need to be watched.
Wow. That is such valuable information. No question about it. Thank you for that, Dr. Monlock. I mentioned at the outset that you have a great website. I want to give that website address out because there may be some listeners here who want to get in touch with you, for heaven's sakes. And there's so much other kind of information on the website. It is Dr. Monlock's name and followed by some initials. So here it is. It's Victoria J. Monlock, and Monlock is spelled M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H. Victoria J. Monlock, MDSC. The MD is obviously for medical doctor. What's the SC stand for, Dr. Monlock?
Service Corporation. So it's like a business name. So my business, right, is that.
Okay.
Right.
Good enough. To repeat, Victoria J. Monlock, MDSC.com. Let me ask you one or two more questions. We're going through the half hour real quickly. I understand that hormone therapy is really very science-based, but for a moment, talk about some of the other current research and guidelines regarding hormone therapy. I know you're way up on this. Is there any information on that area you want to pass along?
Well, the newest information is really 4 years old already, which is a travesty. You know, there is not a lot of hormone research being done in this country. And I'll tell you the reason I think it's not being done is that both estradiol and progesterone, the two female hormones, are both generic. So there's no one pharmaceutical company out there that is profiting or making any monetary on making estradiol or progesterone as generic medication. So as most patients may or may not know, the randomized controlled trials that are done out there are done through university centers, but with pharmaceutical house backing. And so if there's no pharmaceutical house that will own doing any kind of research with generic medication where they will get zero benefit from doing the research, then who's going to do the randomized controlled trials that show the safety profile for estradiol and progesterone? It isn't going to happen. And so you say, well, wait a minute. Then you're dooming every woman in this country to not have the ability to not only have the knowledge, but the benefit of taking hormone replacement that's bioidentical because there aren't any randomized controlled trials out there? That's exactly what I'm saying. So I challenge any pharmaceutical company out there or any university with ties to people who may have ability to help sponsor a study like this. If we truly want to keep women's health at the forefront of where it should be, we need to do the randomized controlled trials that prove the safety and efficacy of replacing bioidentical female hormone back into women. It otherwise won't happen. You know, every time I go to a talk and I raise my hand and ask about where's the information about bioidentical hormone as it relates to, and you could name any organ system, the answer I get back is, well, there aren't randomized controlled trials, so there's nothing to discuss. Next. And it's literally shot down in less than 30 seconds as even a topic of discussion. Now, these are in medical meetings, in conferences, where physicians are being taught the latest and greatest as to what's up and coming in the world of medicine. And it's summarily dismissed in less than 30 seconds because there aren't randomized controlled trials. Well, the last major trial didn't even involve any bioidentical hormone. It was the Women's Health Initiative, which looked at pregnant mare's urine, Premarin, and pregnant mare's urine plus a synthetic progesterone, it was called Prempro, and that was pharmaceutical-based. Therefore, a pharmaceutical house actually funded that research, but estradiol and progesterone are generic. No pharmaceutical house owns them, therefore, no research will be done. So the latest research is the ELITE trial, which is the early versus late intervention trial with estradiol, looking at the cardiovascular health history done by, and I'll give him a shout out, Dr. Howard Hodes at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. And he was brave enough to go ahead and take a look at women being given bioidentical estradiol and what that did for their cardiovascular status, whether they got their hormone early versus late, early
post-menopause. Mm-hmm. We are running out of time. I hate to interrupt you, but I do want to mention the fact that people go to your website, and I gave that website address out. They'll be able to find out more about your fabulous book that is out called Blossoming. And also, next month, you've got a brand new book coming out that I think it's worth mentioning. I mean, we're going to be talking about called Full Bloom. And they're all connected with hormones, right? Both books, seriously.
Absolutely. It is the evolution of women's health as I have seen it and taken care of it in my practice.
Well, look, we're going to talk more about those books next time, I promise. But everybody, you should go to that website, Victoria J. Monlock. MDSC.com. Dr. Vicki, thanks. You'll be back again next week, same time. We look forward to having you back, okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
What a great guest, Dr. Victoria Monlock. She'll be back again next week, same time. same station. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time, everybody. Bye for now.